and welcome to another edition of Cathode Ray Mission. I am Will Scoville in Berkeley, California. With me, as always, in Oklahoma City is Randy Heyer. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Will. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you? I already asked you that.
You did. I'm doing well. Yes.
I'm getting loopy here in our third recording of the day. We're saving the best for last. The third recording is, of course, Fantastic Four, 2005, directed by Tim Story. I decided to pick this because I just watched my full Marvel watch through, and I'm now picking away at some of the other ones, mm-hmm. like Blade, the Sam Raimi Spider-Mans, mm-hmm. the Ang Lee Hulk, mm-hmm. And this one, the Fantastic Four, which I had never seen.
What about Daredevil?
Daredevil 2, Daredevil and Elektra. I'm missing. And then I got some stuff from the 70s through the 90s.
Of course.
Some old shit.
Yeah.
And this one I had not seen. This is, of course, the one directed by Tim Story, who you may know from that Tom and Jerry movie that just came out.
That probably more people watched than ever would have because of the pandemic and the HBO Max Warner deal.
I feel like that. Did you watch that? Did you watch the Tom and Jerry movie?
Hell no.
I didn't watch it either. But it's like that was some sort of like everyone was aware that it was out.
Yes.
And then it was like Monkey versus Lizard. Like everyone got like so caught up in that movie. I haven't seen that yet, and
I'm not watching it, dude. I'm so tired of seeing that freaking promo on there when you click on HBO Max.
And then what is the one? Oh yeah, Mortal Kombat is this weekend. The weekend that we're recording this one.
Yeah, so we actually screened that last night for employees and friends.
Really?
And I
watched about 15 minutes of it, and I was like, okay, and kind of.
They never get to the tournament. It's all really? Like, no, it is crazy. I was the dude, this dude that like works at Rodeo. He was like, he's a huge Mortal Kombat fan. And he was like, yeah, but they're making all these other ones. This is all pre-tournament. Like he was so like fine with that. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Like the whole movie should have been, it's like, I know what everybody knows. Everybody coming into this knows what Mortal Kombat is. Spend 10 minutes setting it up and have the whole movie be fights.
Yeah.
But like when they finally start fighting, all the fights are happening simultaneously as if it's like the Avengers or something. It's like, no, damn it. Like have the Bloodsport structure where it's just, you go fight to fight to fight to fight. Or the original Mortal Kombat movie. I don't know.
I mean,
I was disappointed by it, but it was still fine. It was all right.
So we're going to have to get like movie three before we actually get to the tournament. It's like,
I guess. I mean,
the final movie, Mortal Kombat 3, part 2.
And Goro gets like disemboweled by the new character.
I saw that new character, like, Cole or something.
Yes.
And I was like, who is this guy?
And he's the descendant of Scorpion.
That's what he had yellow bandages on.
Yeah.
So and I was thought, like, oh, he's Scorpion or something.
I thought that it would finally be like, and now I am Scorpion. Because it's all about him finding his power. It's like, no, his power is just like having knives and being like gold or whatever. It's like, what the fuck? And he disembowels Goro, who's like, Goro is a boss. Like he should get way more respect than this. And honestly though, I have no idea what happened in the last 25 minutes of the movie. So if Scorpion comes back, Shang Tsung lives or dies, I could not tell you. I don't know. I have no idea. And I don't care either. I'm never going to
watch. A friend of ours in our Discord was prepping for this and said it was okay, but he said that the animated movie that came out recently is a better watch. Mm. And I'm like, okay, I could give that a shot.
I don't care about that shit.
I don't know. But, you know, this movie that we're reviewing, Fantastic Four, is a superhero thing. And if we're going with, like, the animated Mortal Kombat being a thing. I've been watching the Invincible series on Amazon, which is another big superhero offering, this time from Kirkman, who does Walking Dead. And that is like, I'm watching it every Friday, and it is weirdly like half Saturday morning cartoons with mild swearing and then very graphic violence, like that kind of shows up all of a sudden and you're like, oh. So that's a weird new trend of just like weird violence in anime. And like DC is putting out all these like R-rated cartoons now too.
Mm.
But compared to those is this 2005 version of the Fantastic Four. Randy, was this your first time watching this or had you seen this movie before?
No, Will. Actually, I've seen this movie dozens of times. I love this movie. I haven't seen it in a long time, but when it was new, I watched it tons of times.
Why did you initially watch it? Like what?
Because I think one of the reasons why I get so mad about superhero stuff. I mean, I am truly hoping that this gets us out of our system a little bit, because like we've been talking about Marvel and shit. It's in the Discord. It's in everywhere. Everywhere yeah. I go, that dude I like was talking about that I work with who loves Mortal Kombat. Him, everybody, my boss, movies. When we talk about movies, it all funnels back down to Marvel. We talk about comic books, and it is what the state of the industry is dominating, clearly, you know, and then even the stuff that can compete with Marvel and superhero movies is almost a comic book type thing in and of itself, mm-hmm. such as Mission Impossible, Fast yeah. and the Furious, etc., you know, and like, I mean, I like movies, big spectacle movies to varying degrees and stuff like that, but like, I don't know, but like, so why is this good to me? And this, I'm quite aware that people like think that this sucks, you know, mm-hmm. like Iron Man is good and this sucks or whatever. And like, and I have the wrong opinion, the unpopular opinion that like, I like this one. I like the Raimi Spider-Man movies and even Daredevil is what I've brought up. And like, I know Daredevil's super goofy and dated and stuff, but there's just something about how there's just something about the reverence that they pay these characters now.
Mm-hmm.
And like kind of there's sort of like a shitty older brother attitude that goes with the new Marvel movies where it's mm-hmm. like, actually, this is like good, you know, like actually yeah. pull your head out of your ass, idiot. This is like the good, you know, I don't know. Whereas these movies, Fantastic Four is just what it is. It's meant to entertain. It actually right. had some surprisingly poignant, like heavier moments that I didn't expect. And a lot of it came, I mean, for one, I'm just going to say this right now. I think Michael Chiklis is doing incredible work in this movie. I loved him. Like, that part when his wife, it's so ridiculous. I mean, it makes no sense that his wife would even be there. But she is too freaked. He becomes the thing or whatever. He's a yeah. freak of nature. And she doesn't want to be married to him anymore. But she takes her ring off and puts it on the ground. And then he's trying to pick it up, and he can't pick it up with his huge, dumb fingers. And that made me tear up a little bit, honestly. I was like, fuck, Chiklis, man, he's a good actor that people don't remember anymore. Like, he's probably one of the most dated things about this movie, but he was star of The Shield, which is a show I've never watched. But
yeah, he was also on The Commish, and he was like, he somehow went from, like, doughy guy to, like, kind of more buff big guy.
Yeah.
Like, so, but yeah, so he's in this as the thing under heavy makeup doing a lot of good work.
He's doing Jessica, really good work. Yeah. Under heavy, yeah, unrecognizable makeup.
And then Jessica Alba is probably the biggest star in this movie.
Yes.
And then,
well,
I don't even...
At the time.
At the time. I don't even really recognize who is playing Mr. Fantastic.
He had a familiar face to me, but I couldn't place what he was in. And then Dr. Doom is one of the leads from Nip Tuck, which is another dated reference.
Yeah.
That was a hot show back then, you know?
Speaking of
The Shield, man, I want to watch that show.
I
think I might just burn through it. Like, it's probably like 6 seasons or something.
People talk about it.
Yeah.
It's one of those early on kind of like taking on a big prestige TV type of thing, you know, like an early, like The Sopranos was an early entry.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well. And I'm about to finish this. I'm rewatching The Sopranos right now and I'm about to finish it. So
I never watched that show. I watched the first episode.
It's so good, dude.
And I was like, this is good. This is something I could do. And then just stopped.
It's now that I'm in the 6th season. It's like the saddest show
really
ever, but it's good. I mean, I love it, but it's punishing in how depressing it is. Like,
really?
It's really good. It's fantastic.
Did you watch Barry on HBO?
Yeah. I like Barry.
I like that. It feels like that's maybe what I'll get some of that out of The Sopranos, but Barry does it in like half an hour.
Yeah.
Which I think is a pretty amazing feat to kind of pack as much as they do into a half hour episode.
Barry's a really good show. But Sopranos,
it's a different show. I imagine it's
it's so rich and deep, and you pull a lot out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, but finally in this movie we have playing the Human Torch, Chris Evans, who we now know in the MCU as Captain America.
Yeah, he's one of the biggest stars.
Or spoilers, formerly Captain America, because there's a new Captain America now.
No. I think everybody knew that he was not coming back, though, right? I mean,
no, but it's official as of Friday before this recording that Sam Wilson is now Captain America. So,
who is Sam Wilson?
He's the Falcon. He's
the Winter Soldier, the Snowman.
No, the guy with the wings.
I thought the Falcon was what's his name from Pain and Gain.
Yeah. His character's name is Sam Wilson.
Oh, that's not the actor's name.
No.
I was like, I knew his name's Sam Wilson.
No, I knew his name until I was trying to say it there, but.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Fair enough. My Captain America will always be the guy in Albert Pyun's 1919 movie, which we will someday do.
J.D. Salinger's son?
Yeah, Matt Salinger, exactly, yeah. Dude, I love the Pyuniverse so much, man. We gotta go back there. Anyway, Chris Evans, he had a way different... He was being marketed to us a lot different.
Yes.
I think in this time, he was competing more with like Justin Long, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Or what? He's sort of like a... He's maybe the worst part about this movie to me. I was telling my girlfriend, I hate that character, the pussy hound character, you know, where it's just like... It's all about how he's getting laid and stuff. It's like, that sucks, man. Like,
yeah.
I'm glad that we're sort of beyond that, I think, a little bit now.
Yeah, and he is a very, very not Steve Rogers Captain America character at all. Like,
no, and I do like him in the first, especially the first Captain America movie.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the better of the MCU movies, in my opinion.
That's the first one I saw that I really, because I'd seen Captain America, the Iron Man, and I was like, okay. And then Iron Man 2, I was like, nah.
Yeah.
And then I saw that one on accident. I was supposed to see another movie, but I went and saw Captain America instead. I was like, dude, this is great.
Mm-hmm. I did like the first one. Yeah.
And so, but yeah. And then he also was in Scott Pilgrim playing one of the evil ex-boyfriends.
Well, yeah. He had won me over already. because I did not like him in this. And then he was in this movie called The Losers. Do you remember that movie? No. I think it's based on a graphic novel, possibly. It has Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who was the comedian in Watchmen.
Oh, okay.
He was the star, and I believe Zoe Saldana, who later did Columbiana, which is a movie I always put in my head next to The Losers. But Chris Evans is on that crew, and he's playing a very similar character to the one he's playing in this movie, where he's just sort of like cracking wise the whole time. Yeah. And he's wearing a leather jacket, but he's a nerd too, you know. Mm. It's like, but he won me over though. And he sort of is doing this same character type. Like, that's what I'm saying about him being marketed. Like, he's different now. But in Sunshine, have you seen that movie?
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, dude.
Is that a sci-fi movie? Is that
yes.
The... Okay, yeah.
They have to reignite the sun.
Yeah.
And, oh, that's a terrific movie, dude.
I should check that out, yeah.
If that pulls up on a streaming service, I'd love to do that just on... for as an episode, man, because
yeah,
I think that's one of the strongest sci-fi movies the last 20 years. And he has an incredible scene in it.
I should check that out.
He's very good in it. Oh, and Snowpiercer too. He's good. I like him.
I haven't seen that yet, man. I need to watch that one. He won me over a long time ago in a little movie called Not Another Teen Movie. He was the lead in that movie. I caught it on HBO or something, and he's the lead in the movie, and he is playing the exact character that you would expect him to play, like the quarterback guy, and he played it perfectly, and he was like Leslie Nielsen in The Naked Gun. He held that movie together and played it exactly like he needed to play it for that movie. He was perfect, and I was like, this guy's really funny. This guy gets it. This guy knows what he's doing. And I like that movie because of him specifically in that movie. I'm sure if I watch it again, it's awful. I haven't seen it in a long time.
You're crazy for this one, Will, although, damn it, I have to concede to you, I don't remember him in that movie, but a performance I think about a lot, a comedic performance that I thought was so good was... because he's the quarterback, and he's got his like best friend is another jock who's like a total douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got like, I mean, the listener doesn't know what I'm doing, but his eyebrows are up like how I'm doing. He's just like, she's the hottest girl at school, bro. Like, he's like that guy, like whoever that actor, I think that actor later was in Community or so. I think he's possibly that he plays that the douchebag that Alison Brie dates with the guitarist, the actor. But it was super funny. But that is... None of the Teen Movie is one of the key gross... like, when comedy was at its worst, in my opinion. It's like... It's less mean than Kingpin and Farrelly Brothers. Like, I think Kingpin is maybe the most mean-spirited movie of all time. Like, I fucking hate that. Or Freddy Got Fingered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, those are the two poles that hold the tightrope of all these horrible movies. Tomcats is another extremely mean-spirited movie. Oh, Miss March. Miss March that's the most mean-spirited movie I've ever
Which one
seen.
Is that one?
That's the Whitest Kids You Know movie.
Oh, man.
Those guys suck so bad. Yeah. That's a generational gap that like kids that are 5 years, people, they're not kids. I'm in my late 30s, but people that are like 6-7 years younger than me all stand up and say that's like their Kids in the Hall or something. You
yeah,
know?
I remember when they were big, and I never got into them.
That shit is not funny, dude. And that movie, Miss March, is one of the most misogynistic, awful. Just awful movies. It's very bad. I hated it. I do not recommend that movie to anyone.
Yeah. And Not Another Teen Movie. It is, God, I know if I go
it's
back.
It's not that evil that, is what I'm saying. Not Another Teen Movie's not that evil.
That's not to say that it's not dated, but it also is like, you know, it is coming off of the heels of movies like Varsity Blues and yeah. Never Been Kissed and The Cruel Intentions. And it's just, I don't
There's
know if
a
they
funny make, Lucas like, joke in it where Lucas gets like split in half.
Oh yeah.
Whatever on the football field.
Yeah. But it's, like it, his character is introduced by he's, you know, shows him in his letter jacket coming into school and he's clearly someone big. And then he goes and looks at a photo of himself hanging in the school and is admiring a photo of himself. And then he leaves and he goes to another photo of him looking at that photo of himself and admires that. That is how he's introduced. And he does that. It's all one shot and he does it perfectly. It's great. It's a great, great gag to introduce him.
Damn, dude. Now I'm thinking I got to go back and rewatch this.
There are definitely jokes in there that have not aged well at all. They probably did not age well by the time that came out on video for the first time.
It's possible. Like if it doesn't have at least three transphobic jokes.
Oh,
in it,
yeah.
I would be shocked just yeah. based on the era that it comes from and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. It's like once Farrell broke big with like his own movies and stuff like Anchorman and stuff, it was such a breath of fresh air for me. Yeah. And there's residual Gross Out and that kind of stuff in Anchorman. But by the time you get to Talladega Nights, it's smooth sailing, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in terms of just not having scatological shit and then also just like super mean spirited stuff. Yeah. But like, typically targeted at like you know,
well, I feel like
punching down, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Yeah,
like the Adam McKay and the Judd Apatow stuff, it was punching in the right direction.
Agreed.
Like, yeah, why are we making gay jokes and shit like that? And there are actual bad people out there that deserve shit.
So. Yeah, it's like making like a whole movie based on like mental illness. And it's like yeah. a big fucking joke. It's like, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
And then having like people get hit in the face with shit and stuff. And
yeah.
It's like, ha 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 ha. I hate it.
Well, I mean, so kind of in that regard and in talking about like superhero shit, I'm not following like the DC universe very much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really into the Marvel because it's a little bit more friendly. Feels a little bit more like a fun comic book than the dark DC universe that Nolan and Snyder have kind of spawned. And I don't know, man. I just don't want to sit through it. I don't want to deal with that in my superhero stuff.
Yeah. I don't really need darkness. I just need it to be shorter. Like, yeah. We've talked about this before, man. There's that scene in Ant-Man where Michael Douglas starts talking about his dead wife or whatever yeah. in the middle of the movie. And you're like, I remember just throwing my hands up and being like, I took my 3D glasses off and was like, should I leave? I was with two people, though. I couldn't leave, but I was like, what are we doing here? Why am I yeah. watching this movie? This movie's about a man that can shrink down to the size of an ant. And like, we're doing this. There's like this stupid scene about this shit that doesn't mean anything to me. And it never will. There's nothing that this movie can do that will make what's happening on screen right now mean anything to me later. What would make me walk out of the movie thinking, wow, Ant-Man, is if that guy turned into a little man and ran around a lot more than he does in the movie.
Yeah.
He barely does anything as an ant. Yeah. I mean, you get the money shot or whatever, but that's a movie. The whole movie should be a money shot. This movie,
right.
That's why this movie is good, because they get their powers and it's just them finding fun little ways to use their powers and stuff, you know? I mean, I don't know.
I totally agree with that. It is what a lot of that stuff is missing. And, you know, we're getting a lot of that out of the TV shows now, finally, of people using their powers more and more and not just talking and, like, moving the plot forward. But this is one where it's like, I don't know, it's fairly short. It's not, can't be longer than 2 hours, right?
It was an hour 45, and like, yeah, you got to factor in 7 minutes of credits. I mean,
but
I loved the breeziness of it, dude.
They still went to space. They still did all their shit in space. They still came back and then figured out what to do and then had real conflict and a real like, oh shit, the thing is going to really do this. Oh man. And, it does feel like a very much a competition with, not a competition, but, in the world of Spider-Man 2, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 2.
Is this the same year as Batman Begins, 05?
Because I know Dark Knight came out a few years after I moved out here.
This was a success, but people turned their back on it.
Yeah, and it's just like, I really watched it for the first time. Yeah, it came out the same year as Batman Begins. And people were wanting that dark, you know, they wanted the Nolan DC, and they didn't want the fun Marvel. And no, man, I think this is, I want to see the second one now, because it also has Silver Surfer. Although I think they did it, the Silver Surfer, a little weird.
It's shorter, too. And
is it really?
Watching this, I was like, we'll see if this is actually good. Like, at the time, I liked it a lot. But I'll say, at the time, I thought the Rise of the Silver Surfer, or whatever, part two, was better than the first one. Yes.
I'll watch that one.
Because they're full on. There's no 45 minutes of them becoming the Fantastic Four. They're just the Fantastic Four at the beginning. And then the Silver Surfer, they run into him. He's a bad guy. But then it's like, no, I'm good. Dr. Doom comes back. So, like, that's my big complaint, I think, is that Dr. Doom, it takes him way too long to put his mask on.
Yeah.
I'm Dr. Doom. But I still liked it. I thought he was, that guy's a good villain. He's a really weird looking dude. And
So is Silver Surfer, is he the Herald of Galactus? Is that what he's doing in the...
I could not tell you, dude.
Because, like, in the comics, it's part of that whole space thing, and, like, the Silver Surfer comics are full of, like, weird-ass aliens and shit, and he's just, like, zipping around through the cosmos on a surfboard.
I've always loved the Silver Surfer, dude. They should make a Silver Surfer movie... And do it for
They probably will, but there's a cartoon on Disney right now that's really good. It's like a Saturday morning cartoon, and it's like, it's got all the weird aliens and shit. Hmm. And his whole thing is that in exchange for not eating the planet that he's from, he's like, there's this space god that floats around named Galactus, and his whole thing is like, I gotta eat. And he eats planets. And so Silver Surfer says, if you don't eat my planet, I'll become the guy who goes to all these planets and tells people that you're coming so that they can clear off before you eat it. And so that's his job for a long time. And so that's what I figured he was doing. He was coming to Earth to say, hey, this space god is going to come and eat your fucking planet. Get out of here before he does that. But I don't know. I don't really care either. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure they find some clever way to put him in that movie. So I don't care.
I have no idea. I think that they run, from what I remember, they run into him. Or maybe it's like the Surfer was hired to like murder them.
But by then, Dr. Doom or something? Or like,
yeah, or something. And okay. Then they become friends. And maybe there's another villain. I honestly could not tell you anything about it other than I remember thinking like it was cool and I like the Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
I like Chiklis as the thing a lot, man. Yeah. I don't know. And I like Reed Richards, that guy, whoever he is, he's good as Mr. Fantastic and Jessica Alba and what's his name? Chris Evans, even though Chris Evans's energy sort of throws me a little bit. And I hate just the whole, like, I'm getting laid. Like, he's like kind of like Poochie the dog or something. He's just like, he's a little too cool. You know, like, it's not real, you know, he's just like, I don't know. He's annoying to me.
Yeah. So this movie is like a basic superhero origin, you know, and with the Fantastic Four, they go to space, they get hit by some solar wind or something, and they all come back with powers.
Mm-hmm.
Reed Richards can stretch. Jessica Alba, I forgot her name. Mrs. Fantastic.
Invisible Woman.
Invisible Woman. She can disappear. Then she can also like control energy blasts or something.
Is
energy shield something? And then her brother becomes the Human Torch, and then Chiklis, who is out in space in a spacesuit, becomes the Thing, who is like made of rock.
And he, you feel so bad. You're just like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
What would it be like to be the Thing? They don't get into it, but it's like,
'cause you can't, like,
the
everyone else can kind
is of, body horror, dude. It's like,
yeah. Everyone else can kind of like function as a normal human being, yeah. Pass as a normal human, but he can't. He can't turn back into Michael Chiklis and then be, like the Hulk or something. He's just like always the Hulk. And he can't do anything. He can't pick anything up. He like.
I was can't thinking, like, phone. Yeah, what are his nerve endings like? And like, it's implied that he's in a relationship, but it's like, can he have sex? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's a kids' movie. You're not going to like get into that, but I was thinking about it. Everyone's thinking about it. It's like.
I mean, it's a whole scene in Mallrats.
Like?
So, but.
It reminded me of when the toxic. It's. It was. It made me. I mean, there's some things about this I'll say. I'm not saying that this is like, I think for this movie, it's perfect for what it is because it's like super goofy and shit, but like, I don't know. So like, the she's like blind, much like yeah. How the Toxic Avenger meets his wife.
That made me, oh my God, yeah.
That made me laugh, dude. And then he like, when Mr. Fantastic proposes to the Invisible Woman, that was like, so hilarious, dude. It's so dumb and like corny, but like it works so beautifully for this movie.
Yeah.
Whoa, Tim Story directed both movies.
Oh, did he? Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that one out.
So I looked away. At one point, Chiklis is returned to his normal form, and then I must have looked away for 2 seconds and he was the Thing again. What happened?
So what happened was that Doom tricked him, and it, like he broke away from Mr. Fantastic, and then Doom was like, "Hey man, if you let me into that lab, I can fix you. I can get that machine working, the one that Reed has been working on."
Mm-hmm.
And what it really was is that he was going to do it to first get rid of Reed's muscle, which is what the Thing is, and then the second thing is that he can like absorb that energy and become more powerful. And so he's absorbing all the energy that's being produced in that Thing while turning the Thing back into Michael Chiklis. And then Michael Chiklis is like, oh my God, what have I done? I need to save my friends, but I can't the way that I am. I got to be the Thing again. And so he turns himself back into the Thing to go save his the rest of the Fantastic Four.
Okay. I just missed the scene where he turned himself back. And
yeah.
I was just like, oh, I guess he's the Thing again. I mean,
yeah, they don't really show it. He just kind of shows back up as the Thing. So, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
It works.
I loved it. I thought it's just a fun, good movie, man.
Yeah.
And then the second one, I'm going to look. I think I swear that the second one is like 90 minutes or some.
Really?
It's 92 minutes, dude.
Oh, nice.
So I really think The Rise of the Silver Surfer, which I may watch tonight. I'm going to watch it soon. That might be the masterpiece of all superhero movies.
Yeah.
Even though a lot of people say it's horrible.
You know what I would love if they did?
What?
If they had a theatrical. Okay, so they used to in comic, it'd be like two amazing stories in one book and do kind of the grindhouse thing, but each movie is like you go in for a 2-hour movie, right? And you get two distinct movies, and they're both Marvel movies. They're both Marvel superheroes set in the Marvel universe, but they are two distinct movies that follow different characters. So, and they're both an hour long, 1 hour. So you get, it's a bit like an anthology movie, but set within the universe. So you get these shorter stories. And so you can go to like a 2.5 hour movie and see 2 to 3 stories, you know, that are taking place.
I mean, we're getting further away from what I was praising Fantastic Four 2 for being short. You know, we're getting further away from,
I don't know. Yeah.
Shortness, I guess. But I see what you're saying. But I mean,
if you're going to a movie, you're going in there for 2 hours and you can watch 2 1-hour stories.
To combine your idea and mine, just do a 45-minute movie. Like, it's like Two Evil Eyes or whatever, but like it's like, you know, Bishop and then Silver Surfer or some shit like that.
Yeah. Know. Yeah.
Cable movie. Isn't Cable in Deadpool 2?
Probably, yeah. So he's the rights to the... I tried watching Deadpool. I'm just...
It sucks.
I think they're going to reboot the X-Men fully into the MCU, and they're just going to... New Wolverine, new everyone.
I mean, whatever. That was bound to happen at some point.
Well, like Disney now has control of all that, and they're like, yeah, we're making Deadpool 3 because we're basically contracted to do so, but we're not doing any more R-rated Disney, like Marvel stuff. We're going to keep it at PG-13. Like,
I mean, I don't care. I don't need it to be dark at all. Like, me praising this movie, I think this is one of the best ones. I really do.
Yeah.
I'm not being facetious or just trying to like make people mad or whatever. I would watch this anytime over any Doctor Strange or any of that shit. You know, like, I just, this is just,
I mean, it is,
I like
one
this
that is
movie. It's short and it's fun.
Yeah, it is easier to watch. It's easy to just like pop on because it is not that, like with Marvel, I'm watching that because I want the long soap opera shit. This one is just like one and done. But it's not as bad as like, say, it's not as cheap, I would say, as like that Albert Pyun Captain America one, which is like,
no,
you know, it does have a budget to it. It does have some big stars in it.
Oh yeah.
And it is done at a certain level, but it's also very fun and very short. And it's like, easy to watch, and you don't have to know everything else. You don't have to know 7 other movies worth of stuff. Everything is contained here. And then you get one sequel. So,
I mean, no, you're dead on, man. And I think Daredevil, I like Daredevil because Daredevil's like campy almost. I mean, it's like, it's ridiculous how serious it is. But then also it has like super goofy shit happening. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't. I got that on my movie server.
Like, I think Colin Farrell's performance, it's device. I think a lot of people hate it, but I think people are going to come back around on it. And like, it will be praised someday as like truly a, like just a great villain performance. He and Michael Clark Duncan as Kingpin, which is one of the more inspired casting choices. Of any of these movies. I like that movie too, though. Anyway, and this is from that era. It's just before, I don't know. There's just like, you can feel the committee behind the newer movies too.
So. You can. And that is something, especially, there's a point where it's like, they were really struggling, like watching them all kind of back to back. They're like really trying to figure it out at the beginning. And then they kind of get a formula and they're like, okay. And then, you know, Guardian, like they're telling a certain story in like phase two, and it's like, okay, we're expanding everything. They're getting everything set. And then the Guardians of the Galaxy comes along, and that is like a big tone shift. And they're like, okay, we can kind of expand it. And now they're doing the TV thing, which is a whole new thing.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what led that off though. But there was a tone shift kind of there in the middle. And I think we're beyond that point now where it was a little bit fun. But I think with the Fantastic Four, with this movie, it was like, this was all this was expected to be. It wasn't supposed to tie into anything else.
Yeah.
And so it was allowed to kind of be its own thing, separate from like Spider-Man a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, this is made before streaming. It's like people just had more respect for movies as an art form when this came out. Like, this was like the last gasp of that before streaming. And then, you know, now in-house movies and I don't know, everything. And like, video stores disappear. Like, just all the things. There's just a bunch of things that have shifted culture and stuff to where. And I think now they feel obligated for some reason to make the movie over 2 hours. And it's like, I don't want it to be.
Yeah.
I know I talk about this all the time. This is something maybe I'll never get out of my system, is bitching about movies being too long. But like, movies, they don't have to be long. They can be. And if they are, fine. But they don't all have to be, and they all are right now, and it's insane.
I know. I think that, you know, most of the Marvel stuff is like maybe 2 hours or something, like going to the 2.5 hour. The last one was like 3 hours. That was like a big event. But the other thing is that like all these movies are events now. And that's one thing I do like the stuff that's on TV because it's like more sit down and watch it on Friday. And it's like not as big of an event as all these movies have to be in order to make their money back.
Well, that's where they're doing big missteps, though, in my opinion. You know, it's like if you got Ant-Man, you make that movie 90 minutes, you know, just have Ant-Man running around, being small, falling into a cup of water or something. I don't know. There's like a ton of things you could have Ant-Man do that he doesn't do in that movie. That would be fucking cool to watch. Yet the movie is over 2 hours long. Why?
Yeah.
How? You know? And that's my big complaint. I think I looked at one point and all of them are over 2 hours long.
They're all over 2 hours,
insane.
Yeah.
And this movie stands tall. 1:45.
Yep.
Beautiful. Michael Chiklis. Cool. Jessica Alba. The guy from Chris Evans. Duck. Yeah, Chris Evans.
Cool. Well, I think it's about time to take a break. So let's take one and come back with a big roundup.
Let's do it.
Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
I would rather have a day job than be a Pokemon master.
Han Solo is clearly more attractive than Indiana Jones.
I would take the Star Wars trilogy over the Matrix trilogy anytime.
The Legend of Zelda versus Super Mario. Who's better in bed, Jafar or Gaston? And would Thanos masturbate with the Infinity Gauntlet or not? Every week, Nerd Rage the Great Debates brings you the funniest comics, writers, and podcasters to settle some of geekdom's most divisive topics. Find us on Spotify or wherever you find podcasts.
Hi, I'm Jacob.
And I'm Annie. Have you ever enjoyed a palaver?
Is it good to be the dog's dinner?
Who is this Bob, and why is he your uncle?
For the answers to all these questions, you'll have to listen to our podcast, Boo to a Goose, breaking down British and American expressions and idioms.
We use them, define them, and explain their history, all in a short, digestible format.
So go ahead and check out Boo to a Goose wherever you get your podcasts.
Cheerio!
That means goodbye.
All right, we're back for the big roundup for the Fantastic Four 2005 version. Randy, on a 1 to 5 star scale, what do you give the Fantastic Four?
I am going to give this I mean, it's like a stupid as fuck movie. It is, but it's what it delivers what I want personally, you know. I feel like I always think about Roger Ebert's review of The Phantom, where he was like, this movie rule. Like, he loved the...
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's like...
sucked.
Yeah, well, you should read Ebert's review of The Phantom, and it made me kind of second-guess myself. I was like, oh, maybe this movie is good, but it's just because it's like, this is maybe the most... squarely in the middle of the Venn diagram for me of like caring, my age when this came out, everything. I don't know, like, and then what I want out of a superhero movie and everything. Like, this movie, it's just like a lot of fun. It had moments that, yeah, surprised me at how like Michael Chiklis's performance. It was like, it was emotional at times and stuff like this. It shocked me. And then I laughed out loud. Like when he proposed to her on the boat or whatever. And there's like just some crazy stuff that happens in this. That, I mean, I don't know. I loved it. So I'm going to give it 4.5 out of 5 stars.
4.5. Wow. All right. I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was fun, especially after coming off of the full run of the MCU movies, theatrical movies. I like those, but they're a completely different animal, and it was really fun to kind of like dip into something that was a little bit lighter and a little less continuous and kind of one and done and really fun and short. Set in the same familiar universe with different actors playing them. So I'm going to give it 3.5 stars. I really like this movie. I would recommend it to folks who are not into superhero movies and just like, man, if you just want, you want to see something fun.
Absolutely.
Man, you want to see a superhero movie that's fun? Here's one. You don't have to know anything else. It tells you everything you need to know here. So
it's not pretentious at all.
No. Yeah, it's not one that fits within the current MCU at all, but that's okay. It doesn't need to. It's if you want, like, I did watch this after watching Spider-Man 2, and I thought that was a perfect matchup.
Yeah.
So you get the same feeling out of both. So if you like Spider-Man 2, you might like this one. So.
Yeah, Stan Lee makes a cameo. I laugh.
Oh yeah, with like, no, what's his cameo in this one?
He's like a mailman or something, and he's like, well, you never do know about, I don't know. He just says something stupid. It's just like, wow. This is like the beginning, the golden age of him.
Yeah.
Being in all these movies. It was very, felt way more like Spider-Man than like later when he's a like living skeleton, you know?
God, man. I did a convention where he was at it and he was, I saw a glimpse of him and it was right before he died. It was not good.
No.
That guy needs to stay at home, man. Well, cool, man. What other stuff would you recommend based on this movie?
I would recommend the Marvel movies I like, which are this, Part 2, The Rise of the Silver Surfer, Daredevil, and... the Nick Cage Ghost Rider movies.
Those are on my list.
Those are super good, dude.
Yeah, I'm chipping away at those. So those are on my list, and I've never seen any of the Blade movies. So I know people are fans of those ones.
I'm actually, here's another where I'm an outlier. I don't think Blade is that good. I mean, really? It's fine. It's fun to watch with people that like it and stuff. I did do that during quarantine at one point, like on Discord or whatever, you know, just like talking and watching the movie and shit. And that it's fun to watch because like, and I get it. It's just like, there's things about it aesthetically, the way it looks and stuff that like, I find ugly. It's not cool to me at all. It's meant to be cool and not like, whereas Fantastic Four is not, like I was saying, it's not pretentious. It's not being cool.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like a representation of what Fantastic Four is on the big screen, like from the comic to the big screen. And they're just like, they don't really know, like, there's no like guiding hand making the tone be or adding these scenes with some fucking character to tie it to some other movie or whatever, yeah. You know, like
it's kind of like how in recent years people have reassessed the Schumacher Batman movies and said they're kind of fun and good, and especially with the current Batman that's so dark, it's nice to have all the candy colored shit and stuff. And this is kind of the same situation. So if you're kind of like sick of a darker tone, even with the MCU, which I feel is a little bit more family friendly, PG-13, this kind of goes one step beyond, is a little bit more friendly and totally fun. Not ashamed to be a little bit goofy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just totally 3.5. Not great, but you know, a little above Hubie Halloween territory. So. But yeah, recommendations for me, I don't know. I'm trying to see like non superhero stuff that might kind of fit into this, and I don't know, but man, like, I like
Jumanji with Robin Williams comes to mind for me. Just like, it's like a stupid, like, all right.
But I legit love like Mystery Men, the movie Mystery Men. I saw it in the theater like twice. It did give us All Star by Smash Mouth, unfortunately, yes. Pre-Shrek. So there is that, but otherwise it's another movie that kind of gets the superhero thing and has fun with it. With an all-star cast, Ben Stiller, Janine Garofalo, mm-hmm. Bill Macy, and more. All sorts of people in that one. So I'd recommend that.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I think, sorry, I'm just thinking now, you said all-star cast and just like a dumb movie that is like pure fun, no bullshit, Now You See Me movies come to mind.
Yeah.
That's just
I haven't seen the second one, but I've seen the first one recently and I'm like, okay, all right.
It's sort of like what Den of Thieves is to Heat, those are to Ocean's 11, you know, or something like that. Where it's like, it's basically Ocean's 11, but they're magicians. I love it. I love those.
They're not just magicians. They got to be like sorcerers or something. They're like, real magic.
That's the thing is like, they're all like, no, it like only geniuses can tell that this is like an illusion. But the movie is using CG to like get what they're doing done. It's like, you can't actually do this. Yeah. It's funny. I love it.
It's pretty great. So,
also I brought up Jumanji, the Robin Williams, but I think even The Rock, all the Jumanji movies are a lot of fun. And they're like this, I would compare this to like The Rock Jumanji movie where it's just like, the movie is just nothing but fun. There's no scene where like, a character is like, well, my wife died. And you're just like, wait, what the fuck is happening right now? It's like, no, they just take the premise and wring it dry. And that's what Perfect. Fantastic Four did too. So anyway, Wonderful. Plugs, Brandy. I got nothing. No.
Sorry. Plugs, nothing. okay. Well, I got my normal stuff. Talkies on Twitch and Zoom. Check us out every other Friday. SepDoc podcast, documentary reviews, and then Nerd Rage, Great Debates, Comedy Debate every Monday. So wherever you find podcasts, check those out. Randy, got anything else this week?
Oh, no. I hope people are enjoying the podcast and enjoying their lives, getting their shots. By this point, Will, you may be fully vaccinated by the time this comes out.
I don't think quite by the time, maybe by the time the episode after this comes.
I mean, I can envision.
I'm already scheduled. I know the date of my second vax.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't think this episode comes out before then or after then.
I'm just envisioning maybe like in a week or two, we do another batch and maybe one of the episodes that we did today would come out later or something.
That's like that. Possible that might happen.
But who knows?
So there's a possibility. I haven't scheduled that far out yet, so.
Well, we're going to be coming at you, the listener, with more guests and whatever, you know, watching crazy stuff. We got to watch a few more foreign language movies, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
A glut.
We had one on the docket that we passed up because we were doing another foreign language one. We were doing House, and I forgot what that was.
Hmm.
But we'll, I could go back to the text.
We'll class it up. We'll throw some tuxedos on.
Hell yeah.
Do rules of the game or some such shit.
Hell yeah. All right, Randy. I'm about done for the day, man. I am.
Me too, man. It's 5:12. Dinner bell ringing in the distance. Actually, I've got one more thing I have to do for work.
Shit. Oh,
hell
boy.
Yeah. Love it, man. I love remembering things midway through hell the podcast that I got to do. But yeah.
I got to edit some podcasts tonight. So.
Hell yeah.
So I can have Sunday off. All right, man. Well, whatever we maybe do next week, I might be vaxxed by that episode. So we'll see.
Fuck yeah, dude. We'll be doing, you know, I don't know. I was trying to come up with something. I got nothing.
I'll be going out to a bar, maybe. I don't know. I'll be seeing, we'll be doing Nerd Rage in person again.
Mm.
And not on Zoom. That'll be fun.
Hell yeah, man. So, well, peace right, be man. With you, friend.
You too.
Have
until
a good
next
one.
Week. See you later.
See ya.